Last week, we reflected on the hope that God is with us. And that hope remains as we consider what it means to find peace in the manger. Peace that can be found on a silent night in Bethlehem. Because each of us, in our own ways, needs a silent night, don't we? I appreciate how the longing expressed in the song for that silent night highlights the irony that we have created for ourselves this time of year. Too many malls, too many stores, December traffic, Christmas rush, crying children, all the shopping, the buying, the lines, and all of that to celebrate the humblest of all births. I mean, other than the angels, God really didn't put a lot of fanfare into this whole thing. I'm pretty sure God can put on a show when God wants to. And God went with this. I mean, God put a lot of love into it. God put a lot of intention into it. But not a lot of bells and whistles. And you know, when we're not careful, we end up with lots of bells and whistles and not enough of the love and the intention. Here we are commemorating that sacred moment with inflatable lawn Santas and credit card debt. Now, that may not exactly be you, but I think you see the picture I'm going for here. Perhaps you have found your own way to honor the intention and love of Christmas without the extra bells and whistles. But even still, the cacophony of the world certainly surrounds us in a loud, deafening tone that can keep us from that peace of the silent night that we long for. It can break us until we are pushing and shoving our way through the most wonderful time of the year. Whether you're simply observing it from the edges or you find yourself smack dab in the middle of it, it is worth stopping to ask, where's this peace that we're talking about? Well, I think it's important that we take a moment to consider all that peace can mean. For if we're going to look for it in this world, if we're going to look for it in a manger, we better know what we're looking for. Now, peace can mean harmony without conflict. You know, to live in peace. Peace can mean undisrupted existence, as in peace and quiet. Peace can also mean acceptance with what is and what is not, to be at peace. All of these different things are a part of the gift that we celebrate, the gift that we receive this Christmas. Because peace is what the world received that first Christmas on that silent, holy night. It is the peace of Christmas that creates the silence and the holiness of the Christmas story. And it's that same peace that will create the silence and holiness in our own stories this Christmas. I venture I'm not alone. Nothing personal, Amanda. When I say that one of my favorite parts of the song is when Tallulah read the scripture from Luke. There is something so beautiful about the voice of a child sharing those powerful words. What was it like back there in Bethlehem with peace on earth and goodwill toward men? In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is an announcement of peace. It is an announcement made to the least likely of people. We hear this story year after year and we start to just assume what it's going to say. But stop and think with me for a moment. This announcement of peace was made to the least likely of people. A bunch of ragtag, smelly guys who were probably telling inappropriate jokes and stories around their campfire. This is where the angels show up. This is where God chooses to announce the Prince of Peace to the world. But that's part of the story, isn't it? We might sing about a silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. But we risk forgetting that outside of that stable, life was business as usual. There were lots of noisy, distracted people who had no idea yet how holy that night really would be. Amidst that noisy, distracted reality is where God chose to announce and send peace. Outside that stable, those noisy, distracted people needed to be made aware of the gift they were receiving. And that story reoccurs every year over and over again. And this year, we're the noisy, distracted people. We're the noisy, distracted people who need to be made aware of the gift that we will again receive out of God's grace. For there is a silent, holy night that arrives. But we need to be reminded of it. We need to have an announcement made to us. Which brings us to the angels. One of my absolute favorite parts of Christmas and the Christmas story. In fact, if you ever were to grab my iPhone and go to my music, I've got a playlist called Christmas Favorites. And the first three songs in that playlist are Lord, Let the Angels Sing, Angels We Have Heard on High, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The fourth song is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, which is about angels as well, but it doesn't have angels in the title. So still, those first three, it's just like angels, angels, angels. We need to be reminded. That message needs to appear. And in our story, the angels are the messengers. They bring that announcement to remind us of all that God is doing. You know what's fun? The angels have some of the most quotable lines in the entire Christmas story. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. That's a good line. You will find him wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Oh, that's another good line. Or glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all. That's another good line. There's a lot of them. There are some great, memorable lines those angels share with the world. But you know, they say a few other things that often get missed. In fact, in my opinion, one of the most important things they say is often the most overlooked. In fact, it's the first thing they say. Do not be afraid. This is how the announcement begins. Do not be afraid. This is where the angels begin their proclamation, by asking us not to be afraid. Because let me tell you, such divine interruption in life can unsettle us. And see, whether we use the modern translation that tells us the shepherds were terrified, or that older language, they were sore afraid. The first words spoken to them are to bring comfort and establish peace in that very moment. And this is a repeating theme. In fact, every time an angel shows up in our Christmas story, and it's about five different times, five different angels, five different conversations, the first thing is said in every single one of them is, do not be afraid. Think they're trying to drive a message home? It's the first thing almost every heavenly messenger says throughout the entire Bible. We just finished our Bible study on the book of Genesis, and the first thing the messenger of the Lord says to Abraham, do not be afraid. This is a long-standing conversation God's having with us. Now, I will tell you, I always thought this whole do not be afraid thing was because of that sore afraid and terrified issue. You know, you're out there, you're watching your sheep, doing your thing. Ah, the glory of the Lord shones upon you. Okay, wow, you're going to jump out of your seat a little bit. It makes sense that the angel would open with that calming reminder of do not be afraid. It almost seems like they've got their script. Okay, God says, say the, oh, we better say do not be afraid first, just so they'll listen to the rest of it. But is it? Is it really some sort of impromptu calming reminder? What if it's part of the message they were sent to proclaim? What if those were the first words that God wanted humanity to hear and they were in the script? Do not be afraid is uttered every time God interacts with us. Every angel in the Christmas story, even when the entrance is quiet and understated, or they appear in a dream, even when there's no fear in the moment, the first thing they say is, do not be afraid. What if that's the message? What this has brought to my attention is that people, and I'm talking about all of humanity here, people, we as people, We're afraid of a lot of things. I'm going to ask you to honestly consider this, if you would. And I recognize it takes some courage to acknowledge this, but I think we're afraid to admit that we're afraid. It's a really overwhelming concept to confront. So instead, we couch it in all sorts of other words that are less scary. You know, we might admit to being anxious or apprehensive or a little nervous or unsettled at times. Or maybe we're unsure or discouraged or intimidated or suspicious or worried. Take your pick. I've got more. But how often do we find ourselves using words like this to describe where we find ourselves in life? I think as people, we carry a lot of fear in our hearts, whether we recognize it or not. Now, this is some pretty real and personal stuff, folks. And it requires us to be very vulnerable to acknowledge it. Are there things that you fear? And I'm not talking about phobias here. I'm talking about the insecurities and the doubts that we often won't even speak aloud because we are afraid they might be real. You know, when opportunities present themselves, we're afraid of the change. Or we're not too sure about investing in a relationship because we're afraid of being let down. Or how even when we're doing our best, we're afraid it's just not good enough. Or what if at the end of my life, I'm just some guy? These are the things that we can be afraid of. These are but a few examples of the emotional, spiritual, and personal fears that I believe we as people can hold. But they're also examples of the fears that end up holding us. They hold us back from all that's possible. They hold us back from the life God desires for us. They hold us back from that peace that we long for. They show up all over the place, every aspect of our lives. Fears even show up at Christmas. Think about some of that Christmas stress that's experienced, will you? Did I buy the right gift? Is my house clean enough? Will my family get along? Will we have enough time? We're afraid of these things. And if you start digging, it's not about gifts and cleaning and polite conversations. At the core of these questions are very real human fears about how we see ourselves, about how others see us, about how we feel judged, or how we experience brokenness. Or about how we worry that we're going to miss opportunities that won't come around again. These aren't just Christmas-related issues. They are fears that can hide in our hearts throughout the entire year. But as we look at candles for hope and for peace, I believe God wants to do something about it. In fact, I believe God already did something about it on a silent and holy night. When the angel spoke those words, "Do not be afraid," they weren't just addressing the immediate reaction to the shepherds. They were announcing one of the gifts that we receive in that manger. For the Prince of Peace is reason for us to not be afraid anymore. The hope, peace, love, and joy of Christmas invite us to not be afraid. In hope, we find we need not fear because God is with us. We're not alone. In love, we find we need not fear because God invites us into relationship with grace that is powerful enough to overcome all of our shortcomings. And in joy, we find we need not fear because God is creating life anew. That each and every day we can find a new beginning with the promise that God will go with us. These gifts bring us peace. They will bring us peace personally, and on that larger societal level, they will bring peace to a broken world. This is what hope and peace and love and joy are all about. They're about each and every one of us and the ways we contribute to the larger world to which God proclaims good news of great joy, that we need not be afraid. And when we can receive the gift of peace for ourselves, it will carry over into our relationships. It will carry over into our communities and world. when we receive and celebrate the gift of Christmas, when we open ourselves to that hope and love and joy, we are given everything we need to experience the peaceful, silent, and holy night that God is bringing into the world. So I hope you will be reminded this morning, for there is good news of great joy for all people, and we need not be afraid. Amen.